He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Follow the Bouncing Ball Wednesday edition of the Best Stocks Now show with Bill and Barry. Bill and Barry today.
Good morning.
That's a good little tagline. Bill and Barry on a day with the Dow down 444. You're playing the lotto today. There's your numbers. You know, this is crazy. Yeah, it's up big one day and it's down big one. It's not like little moves either. It's big moves, which, you know, that can be indicative of topping action. We'll see. But right now we've got the Dow down 444 after yesterday's decent move higher. I guess interest rates are being blamed here. We've got, what else here? We've got, I just lost my little...
Well, we've got the good news is bad news, you know, theme
going strong
with the ADP numbers.
True. Okay, the ADP numbers came in stronger than expected. You know, I find there's a pretty big gap a lot of times between the ADP numbers and then the non-farm payroll numbers that come in on Friday. But you're right, we'll talk about the ADP in a minute. Eh, the NASDAQ's down 163 today. It had a big day yesterday. S&P down 53. Our inverse funds are doing well today. Russell 2000 down 21. Crude oil down $1.41, so that's not the culprit. $77.52, gold down $1.60, silver down. There now, you know, the 10-year is 1.52.
Right.
I can't blame interest rates.
Right, exactly.
I'm selling everything and buying Bitcoin. Bitcoin is up $3,700. Gary Gensler, SEC chairman, says the government will not ban Bitcoin. So we'll talk about that in a minute. But it is up $3,686 to $53,906.
Yeah,
so welcome
to, build
to
a bit of a...
welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show with the professional money manager Bill Gunderson, along with sidekick and senior account manager here at Gunderson Capital Management, Barry Kite, who's also a CFA. And a CFP, so he has all kinds of, he has all kinds of help here to me on this, on these shows here. And we're going to look to Barry again today for his take on a lot of what is going on in the market right now. Because, you know, Barry, I mean, to say the least, this has been some wild back and forth roller coaster action in the market. I mean, Monday was down big. Yesterday we had the NASDAQ up 178, we had the Dow up 312, and now here we go giving back what we made yesterday. What is your make of what's going on right now? What's your take?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, you know, is uncertainty. You know, I know how you mentioned, right, you know, hitting on markets follow earnings, and also, you know, the market doesn't like uncertainty. And you know, I was writing down the number of balls that are in the air currently.
Yeah, that's a lot.
You know, between, you know, debt ceiling, China, just a big old ball, you know, let's don't even name the part, just a big ball, inflation, energy, right, cost, even, you know, up until, you know, Fed leadership, we don't even know, you know, forget what interest rates are doing, right? We're,
right,
you know, potentially ousting Powell at the same time, you know, and then, of course.
Debt ceiling. Did you mention debt ceiling?
Debt ceiling was the first one, but, all kinds of political footballs. And then, you know, and a lot of this, I think, will play out, and then, you know, we've got kind of a time limit, right, at least from Yellen's perspective on the debt ceiling. So some of it's going to play out, but, yeah, it's just a lot of uncertainty is really, you know, and like you said, it's hard to get a pinpoint on exactly what's moving the market, because it's changing from day to day.
Yeah, it's moving very quickly. And, you know, the I think 1.5 is kind of a magic number on the interest rates. as long as they stay below 1.5, the market doesn't get too nervous. But it seems like any time they venture above 1.5, which we're at 1.51 today, we've been as high as 1.54, that seems to be some kind of trigger right now. Okay, well, we had a big day yesterday. I really don't know why the futures, when I got up this morning, the futures were pointing down. Only thing I can say is that 1.5 level has been breached on the upside with the 10-year yield. It's 1.54. Inflation fears. It looks to me, I mean, I'm just seeing more and more signs every single day that inflation is not going away anytime soon. And the biggest one right now, I think, that's worrisome is energy inflation, right? How many companies, Barry, how many sectors of the economy use energy?
Well, and natural gas is a huge, barometer and, you know, huge benchmark for a lot of, you know, various contracts and, you know, even, you know, because it's byproducts too, like for, you know, from natural gas, right, you've got, you know, inputs into fertilizer, right?
Exactly.
You know, there's a lot, you know, which is input into food. And so you
exactly.
keep, you know, you keep going, you have all these dominoes and you keep going
yep.
down and this domino hits that one and then, oh yeah, here, you know, this goes into, you know, all plastics, right, are going to be tied
yep.
to
boats,
petroleum, right?
You know,
and so,
well, yes.
And then, of course, now we've got, you know, the oil spill off of, you know, kind of off the coast and the waters used to fish.
Yep.
You know,
I know that area well. It's yeah. not very deep. It's about 100 feet deep, probably.
Yeah, which
and
is a byproduct of all of those, you know, all the ships waiting
yes.
to get into the harbor. They probably drug an anchor. And
Yes. The way they describe it, that pipeline was dragged 100 feet.
50,
and,
yes.
know, that's what an anchor is going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
What a mess that made. Okay, and then we've got this debt ceiling that they're talking about today, and the Democrats are going to vote. The Senate is going to vote. I don't know. I mean, you've got Joe Manchin and Sinema who are kind of in hiding. They want to just suspend the debt ceiling. So we'll see how that goes today. And, of course, Janet Yellen is crying that it will lead to a it'll work its way out. I mean, they'll find a solution to it. But in the meantime, like you say, it's one of those balls in the air. Today, I think it's bouncing off the ceiling and hitting the market in the head.
Yeah, I hope my little boys aren't playing with the ball.
Yes,
it's going to hit the ground at some point.
Yellen opposes the trillion-dollar coin solution, okay, which I talked about last week and in my newsletter. Imagine a trillion-dollar coin out there.
Yeah,
and
where does that sit at?
The robber barons. That would be the ultimate heist, right?
Right?
Now, here's what you said earlier. Good news is bad news. The ADP, which is the preliminary report, okay, this is the private payroll report, comes out on Wednesday. And then, of course, on Friday we get the non-farm, the official numbers, on Friday, but the ADP report came in at 568,000 jobs created for the month of September. The consensus was 428,000, so it beat by 140,000. That's what it looks like to me.
Mm-hmm.
That means that maybe everybody always takes a look at the next domino to fall. Does that move up the Fed on number one, tapering, which looks like that's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen this year, but
well,
it's going to happen
yeah,
sooner
rather
than
that's the one thing
later.
They're behind on, right? The one
yes,
thing
they
they're behind
are.
On their numbers is employment. And so, you know, they're certainly over on their, you know, at least currently on their inflation number, which they haven't been, you know, on their part, they haven't been over that
right.
number in 10 years probably.
Right.
But you know, they've
yes.
got to get, you know, jobs there as well. I will say the amount of service jobs added was 466,000, which, you know, kind of to me is a good sign for the recovery.
Right.
Just in terms of people getting out and about, you know, and getting back in some of those, you know, some of those leisure, you know, restaurant and leisure jobs.
Yeah. One. Okay. Now here's I'm going to throw one more ball in the air. Okay. This Merck pill on Friday. I mean, the Merck pill was big enough to lift the market by a lot on Friday. Okay, now they're saying in Barron's that the Merck COVID pill may have risk. Well, I mean, that goes without saying. but how big are those risks? Because a lot of people are looking, when that Merck pill was announced on Friday, which obviously it's not available yet, it hasn't been approved yet, but it showed a 50% decrease in the amount of people needing to be hospitalized, and it showed a 100% decrease in those in deaths, okay? You know, on at least in the clinical trials, and Dr. Scott Gottlieb called it a game changer. We saw the vacation stocks just flying on Friday, and now maybe with this Barron's article saying, yeah, you know, not so fast, there may be a lot of risk here. That could also be playing into the sell-off today. Well, we've got to go to break here. Guess what's hitting a 13-year high? We're going to talk about that when we come back. Barry alluded to it. This product is in more things than you would imagine. And the world was awash in it 1 year ago. It's still awash. We're just not pumping it like we did and sitting a 13-year high. We'll be right back. Back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show with Bill and Barry. The Dow down 405 right now to 33,901, breaching the 34,000 level. The NASDAQ, well, the 10-year is at 1.51. It's actually backing off. I think it went up to 1.54 yesterday. The NASDAQ's only down 99 right now, so we are improving there. Here's the weakness that I'm seeing. I'm seeing the weakness in the oil stocks today because oil prices are down.
And that's weighing also, on the Dow.
Yep. Exactly. And I'm also seeing some weakness here. You know, another commodity, look, Gunderson looks at a lot of charts during the day, including an ETF with the symbol BAL, bale, cotton. I look at cotton prices, the ETF. Cotton is soaring. And I'm looking in the S&P 500, Hanes Brands, which uses a little cotton, you know, for comfort and everything. It's getting clobbered today. And I'm also seeing weakness in the vacation stocks, which goes along with my theory that maybe this article by Barron's throwing a little dose of cold water in the face of this Merck pill, which looks to be the real deal. But obviously, Merck is denying the article by Barron, saying, no, I think you're wrong on those side effects. Okay, I want to talk about natural gas here because this is unbelievable. Look, if you go back to March of 2020, oil prices went negative. There was so much oil in the world. And natural gas, I mean, they probably still are. They're flaring it in Texas. It's a byproduct. As they bring the oil out of the ground, the natural gas also escapes. And there was so much and so little use for it, and prices were so low that they burn it. They burn it off, okay? Well, flash forward now. It's not that we're running out of natural gas or that there's a shortage of natural gas. Our production has dropped dramatically. Gas production in the U.S. fields, excluding Alaska, reached the lowest level since the beginning of September, Bloomberg reports. So, you know, you've got, like I said yesterday, you've got two competing interests, conflicting interests. One is global warming, and the other is the need for fuels. We cannot flip the switch and move to solar power and wind overnight. It's going to be a long, long transition, but obviously they're artificially speeding up this process, and I think they're creating man-made shortages here from what I can tell. Natural gas futures soared to their highest finish in 13 years. Okay, that's significant. You probably had the lowest price ever just 18 months ago. This is a little crazy. Okay, now, the biggest problem is in Europe. Holy cow. Do you know that in the last 2 months, European natural gas prices have gone up 50%? And that's going to be a big, big problem for Europe this winter. So, anyways, that's it. And like you say, Barry, natural gas is not just now we're on propane at my house. I don't know what where you're. Are you on natural gas there where you're at?
I know we're on gas. I think it's
pretty
sure it's natural. I know that.
Yeah.
I know it's I know gas and power are on the both on the same bill. So it's
You're natural gas. Yeah. We get a separate bill. We got to keep our propane tank filled.
Yep.
It's underground, and I did notice the price was about the same when we got it filled last week, but I got to believe propane prices. Cotton prices soared to decade highs after 22% gain in 11 days. Now, in addition to this, the shipping problem, okay? Savannah, my wife and I are headed down to Florida over the next couple days, but I'm going to look off that coast of Savannah. I understand that their back up there is almost as bad as Los Angeles. Now, Savannah is not as big as the Los Angeles harbor, but they're backed up. It's so bad that Costco, maybe it was Walmart and Home Depot, they're leasing their own ships, okay?
Yeah, hey. Costco was the most recent one I saw, but I think that was after. I think Costco bought two or doing something with at least two ships, and then you're right, Walmart went ahead and secured some, mostly for the Christmas season, from what I hear.
Exactly. And this, you know, the play on that, obviously, is BDRY, which I own a little bit, okay, in my own little personal play account. That's the Breakwave Dry Bulk Shipping ETF. And, of course, there's a lot of individual stocks in that are very highly ranked in the Best Stocks Now app right now. Those shippers, like, I would say Diana DSX is probably kind of the bellwether of that group, a few others there. So anyways, that's a problem. I understand the Charleston port, however, proudly, we're not backed up. We're getting those ships unloaded and on the trains and on the trucks as quickly as they're coming in.
Yep, and they have, you know, and also remember we just opened that as extra, I think it's two or three terminals.
Yep,
on the other side of the river, a few months ago, I think was the first time they took their ship. But I was looking at, on your coal talk yesterday, at least what I saw this morning, highest returning commodity this year, coal.
Coal, yes. I talked about that coal stock, HCC. There's also an ETF, and I believe it's KOL. Let me look. I haven't looked at that in so long. I don't even see it anymore. They must have shut it down.
Yeah, it's certainly possible.
And, you know, a lot of people getting lump of coal for Christmas, you know. You never know about that. But anyways, coal, is the number one performing commodity. And I would just say this. The number one performing ETF right now, ranked ETF in the app, is DBC, which is a diversified commodity index. And, of course, the world's biggest commodity is oil and gas.
Yep.
And that's definitely. All right, so we're going to turn the talk here away from commodities and switch to FANG, all right?
Yeah,
Zuckerberg getting grilled yesterday, today, the 60-minute whistleblower report on Sunday. Facebook going down, it just seems weird. I mean, is it a coincidence that it goes down when he's under pressure from governments all over the world? Well, it's back up and Zuckerberg. But you know what? Look, here's my take. When you've got a platform, and now, Barry, I want you to weigh in when we come back on this, because you submitted the article and made sure and did most of the meat in that Facebook article. I want your take when we come back. I came from the advertising industry, in my early days. When you have a platform that reaches one-third of the world, you have a very important platform, a very valuable platform. And I don't think government is going to shut down Facebook. I just think Facebook needs to come more in line with the government's wishes, it sounds like, or whatever the regulations placed on Facebook. I'm going to say before we go to break that Facebook is an unstoppable monster, very valuable. But when we come back, I want to hear your take on that. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. To the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show. Well, the little rubber ball has been bouncing pretty good here right? In the bulls' direction. The NASDAQ is down just 40 right now after being down almost 200, and the Dow is down just 243. I would say it's mostly oil stocks that are down today. And obviously the NASDAQ has very few oil stocks in that NASDAQ 100. Okay, Facebook. I say it's a stock that you have to own. What say you, Barry?
I mean, it's one of those, you know, no different than to me than Apple and, you know, Amazon, right? You know, almost where you almost kind of have to have some exposure to it to some extent. And, you know, there's no, you know, in the article, right, it's, you know, like it or not, right? And, you know, full disclosure, I don't have a Facebook account, but
I don't. Well, I do, but I don't.
You
use
probably
it very
do
much.
Bit for yeah, work wise potentially.
Yes.
But just, you know, the fact is, like you said, they have a footprint. I think their applications are used by 2.7 billion people on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Right. Whether it's, you know, WhatsApp, whether it's, you know, Facebook, Instagram. They're also, you know, got some interesting verticals going forward in terms of AI using. You know, the Oculus headset, our oldest, our 15-year-old has the virtual Oculus headset, you know, and you can, you know, he uses it for gaming, but at some point, right, they envision it using, you know, you've seen these, interviews, right, that they've, have
yep.
seen recently with, you know, your avatar or whatever, you know, so they've got, I mean, you know, to me, it's just, you know, they're on the cutting edge of, you know, of software. They've got a, you know, a lot of software analysts and folks making new applications every day. So it's,
it's a monster.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and like you said, advertising, just being able to reach that audience.
Oh my gosh.
That's, you know, it's
powerful.
It's unbelievable. Yeah.
All right.
Businesses are starting to use it more. That's the, you know, that's the next kind of level is, you know, using it, interacting, you know, especially in a, you know, COVID world, right? Businesses
yes.
using it to interact with their customers, you know, completely different than, you know, how
yep.
we've all looked at, you know, probably looked at online shopping and, you know, in-person shopping nowadays.
Yep. Speaking of that, Amazon opens its first bricks and mortar non-food store in the UK, which kind of goes against, you know, here they are, the online retailer, but they are starting to open some bricks and mortar stores around the country. Of course, they own Whole Foods Market, which is a bricks and mortar store. Okay, Kathy Wood, checking in on her. She's in the news every day. She exits Nintendo stock and is building her position in Teladoc. Now, if you remember, we took a huge profit in Teladoc back in February. And Teladoc has not gone anywhere. In fact, it's only gone lower since we sold it. In fact, it's gone a lot lower since we sold it. Back in February when we sold it, it was up around 250 or so. It's been cut in half. Had I not sold it, our position would have been cut in half. But we sold it for a very large profit. Now, I would also say this. The other telemedicine stocks have done terrible. They've done terrible. We owned a few others that we got rid of along the way. So I just don't know about the wisdom there of loading up on Teladoc here at 125. They continue to lose money. You know, I think they did very well. I think it was as good as it gets for Teladoc during the work from home and not being able to travel anywhere. But now almost every insurance health provider is offering, you know, telemedicine where you don't have to go into the doctor's office. You can meet with your doctor online. So look, for whatever reasons, you know, she continues to buy those high speculative earnings maybe down the road. Teladoc has not made a penny yet in earnings. Sales are good. So anyways, I'm just updating you. Now, of course, she's making a lot of headlines also. Her ARK funds, ARKK down 12.4% year to date. Her Nintendo holding down 32%. Teladoc's down 39%. She also unloaded Skills, which is down 57% so far this year. And her funds themselves have been taking on a lot of water here recently. I don't want to say Bill was right again, but that's all I can say. You know, she's way. If you look at the charts of those ARK funds, they are doing horrible. SEC's Gary Gensler.
That's the problem. They're constrained to a certain on some of them. You know, 80%. I think it says have to be in whatever space or
you
know
on
some of
them. She had a little more freedom than that.
Yeah, in some of them, it's the one I'm trying to. I know the specific space one. I think it's got to be 80%.
Yeah,
invested
okay.
Some of those, you know, what qualify? I mean, the question is, what qualifies as a space company?
Right,
right.
It's hard to get Chipotle in there. You know,
right?
Into your space.
I mean,
unless they're eating
space,
Chipotle in their tubes or something.
Yeah, they may deliver to space. Eventually.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, her hands are definitely more tied than mine are. I'm free to go anywhere. I'm totally unconstrained.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm not going to go to Bitcoin. You do what you want to do. I think it's a fantastic trading vehicle. Gary Gensler, and I think that's what's behind this big move in Bitcoin, in a kind of a risk-off day, Bitcoin's up 3,600. He says the U.S. won't ban crypto. Okay, but I think they're going to regulate the you-know-what out of it, right? They're going to regulate crypto like there's no tomorrow. And I think they're going to develop. I really do. I think the U.S., like China, and other countries will develop their own cryptocurrency. And, you know, it's all they got to do if they don't like something is turn up the heat with the regulations. But that's good news. That they're not going to ban it. And, you know, Bitcoin had pretty severe technical resistance, talking about ceilings and rubber balls. That technical resistance was at 50,000. It's blown through 50,000, okay? All right. Norwegian Cruise Lines to sail 75% of their ships by January. That's good news. And 100% by April. And,
So I guess they'll be in the service business instead of
I talked to my sister. She's going on a cruise later this year, and I don't know if they ever where they ever went with the vaccine mandate. The cruise ships wanted it, and Florida, where you're from, Barry,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
their governor DeSantis said no, you're not going to do that. And last time I looked, he was losing in court. Okay, here's my, I always have a weird story every day. Burger King plans to sell plant-based chicken nuggets in a 3-6. Look, I don't even buy Burger King's regular chicken nuggets, but they're going to try out plant-based chicken nuggets. How can they get away with calling them chicken nuggets? Call them soybean nuggets or whatever. But I like this, Ghost Pepper chicken nuggets for a limited time only. Well, we'll have to try them. Let me know how it is. Home Depot teams up with Walmart to enhance local delivery capabilities. Okay, two companies getting together to expand same-day and next-day delivery. I have had not very good luck with Home Depot delivery. I had to order a lot of garden amendment. That's hard to haul in your car and, you know, lifting those big. So I had them deliver like 10 bags. They delivered 10 of these totally waterlogged. They must have left them out.
Right.
They weighed about 500 pounds each. you pick it up, you got manure or whatever it is, plant material all over you. Oh, I was mad at Home
Depot.
And
the dye, shop at Lowe's. Don't forget, you get, I don't know what color you got, Bill, but you probably had the dye all over you.
Oh, I was mad. I finally got rid of it. I mean, I used it all in my garden, and then the garden is doing well. I mean, it grows stuff, but you're talking about natural gas prices. Our fertilizer stocks continue to do well, and that's another article we wrote up recently. Was Nutrien.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
it continues to do very well.
Well, and that's the scary piece in terms of, you know,
very scary.
Because, you know, from a commodities trader standpoint, like I said, natural gas is you know that price of natural gas is used in the models of a lot of other, you know, other inputs. And so, you know, if you've got, say, your reference rate going up, well, then that's going to increase, you know, the price of everything off of that reference rate. So that's, you know, to me, that's the, you know, issue from a natural gas standpoint.
Okay, when we come back, I'm going to try to go through about three stocks, two or three, which I've been doing here recently. Stocks that are kind of shining in kind of a dark market here. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Stocks Now show with the NASDAQ's only down 13 right now. The Dow, however, down 311. It's mostly the oil, and I would also say the mining stocks, for whatever reason, are selling off today. Lithium, you know, copper, those kinds of things.
Yeah, I think I pinpointed it, a couple of things. I think the dollar strengthening, and that's hurting some of the commodities. And then the crude, you know, weekly crude oil report.
Yes,
stockpiles just came out just at 10:30. Looks like stockpiles rose unexpectedly. Basically, we added 951,000 barrels of oil last week. I think we added 3.3 million of gasoline versus I think they expected a negative 0.3 million. So imagine that. Price goes up, and what do? We pump more oil. So that's how it's supposed to work, I guess.
Yes, right? And also OPEC voted not to increase the supply of oil. So we'll see how it all plays out. Okay, so now what is working today, I'm noticing? For whatever reason, the cybersecurity stocks doing very well today. The software stocks, one that we own, Cloudflare, Net, N-E-T, nothing but Net. Okay, you look at that stock. That's a powerful chart. We bought it a while back. It's also one that the Motley Fool is on to, and they've been sending that out to their subscribers, etc. That was back earlier in the springtime, or back in May or so. Motley Fool, and the stock kind of broke out once it was known that Motley Fool was on it. It broke out through about $96. Now it's 131. It's gone on a very good roll here. Major player as it relates to this cybersecurity. It's a $41 billion company, firewall, routing, traffic optimization, load balancing, and other network types of services. Right now in our app, it is ranked, let's see, I think it's dropped in rank a little bit here recently with the pullback in the NASDAQ, but it's still ranked, it's ranked number 1,061 right now. But, you know, several months ago, it was in the 300-400 range. I start getting nervous when if a stock drops below, like, number 2,000. So, in other words, we buy it when it's moving up in rank and looks pretty good. And then I check it every day. And I update the ranks and I update the charts every day. And, you know, you got to give stocks some latitude. There's a lot of people that they panic every time a stock goes down 2 or 3%. They'll write to me, why is this stock down 3% today? And, you know, look, you got to give these stocks a little bit of latitude. I usually have a line, almost always a line in the sand somewhere if it crosses below it. But the daily gyrations and the 7, 6, 5% sell-offs, there's just not much you can do about that to get around it. So I kind of watch the rankings. And if it starts getting down around 10% from where I bought it, that's a major yellow flag that goes up. Then I start watching technical levels, and I watch the overall ranking. And, you know, if it crosses below like 2,000 in rank or so, then, you know, sometimes that's three strikes and you're out. Anyways, I currently like Cloudflare, NET, and we own it. Now, we do have two big hedges in place right now. I started getting a little nervous about the NASDAQ and the S&P 500, okay, from a technical point of view. And, you know, I mean, you're seeing this crazy, wild trading and persistent inflation and whatnot. I think it's wise to have a few hedges in place. I don't know if Kathy Wood can hedge or not. I don't know if she can buy inverse. I do know this. A lot of people are short her funds. They have large short positions in her funds. I don't know if she's allowed to hedge. Unconstrained.
Yeah, I know. I mean, like I said, at most I see where, you know, you can, you know, she could hold 20 to 30% cash, right?
Cash.
Because, you know, because the remainder must, you know, must be invested in, you know, whatever the theme of the fund is. So, yeah, in, you know, a lot of those, you know, a lot of mutual fund structures, you know, you usually by prospectus can't hold, you know, an inverse position.
I would think not. Okay, so I'm just going to mention two inverse ETFs here that are starting. Well, I mean, along with the U.S. market getting a little wonky here, the European market and worry about this, you know, natural gas supplies, enough energy to run the European economy, let alone heat their homes at night. EPV is an inverse. It's breaking out today. EPV is the ProShares Ultra Short Europe. Okay, so that's the play to go inverse on Europe. And then, of course, the other one is inverse the emerging markets themselves, which includes China, big chunk of China, EUM. I mean, emerging markets are going to have a hard time if there's not enough energy to go around.
Well, and dollar strengthening. So dollar, yep. You know, the dollar strengthening or, you know, or any kind of inflationary pressures here,
yep.
Right? That spills over, you know, the reason they peg to the dollar is to, you know, keep inflation under control.
Yep.
Well, if we have inflation here, then that compounds the issue in emerging markets,
yes.
that are tagged to us. So,
EUM is the play there in the emerging markets on the inverse side. It's traded 45,000 shares so far here today. I think is it 2-to-1? No, that one's just 1-to-1, but there are 2-to-1. There's even a 3-to-1, which I don't recommend. All right. Well, we're out of time for the day. There was a lot to talk about today in this market, which is anything but passive. Anything but passive. How can you sit there with a passive portfolio thinking everything's going to be just fine over the next year, months, several years, whatever? The market is moving very quickly. And there's been some very swift and sharp rotations that have taken place.
Just today so far, we started out negative on the
yes.
You know, NASDAQ was down the most when we started, and you know, it's down 0.2% now with the Dow
exactly.
down 0.76. So,
yep. So give us a call. Give us a call to talk to us, 855-611-BEST. Or, you know, the newsletter's pretty thorough on the weekends. That's my internal research. You can get 2 free weeks. Boy, we've had a lot of people sign up for that. People wanting direction right now. What to do? GundersonCapital.com. GundersonCapital.com. We're up to our necks in the market every single day and see what our observations are. GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities.
Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.